Well, we're getting close to the one-year anniversary of healthcare.gov and that launch. Most Americans remember that troubled rollout, that crashing website, and the confusing enrollment process. It was far from a home run for the White House.
We're going to continue to do everything we can to repeal the president's failed health care law.
I'm accountable to you for fixing these problems, and I'm committed to earning your confidence back by fixing the site.
We are doing everything we can possibly do to get the websites working better, faster, sooner.
Kevin Counihan might have the toughest job in America, maybe not, but it's not easy. He's the Obama administration's brand new CEO of healthcare marketplaces under the Affordable Care Act, and he sees an opportunity amidst all the stumbles in Obamacare. And while Obamacare's left most Americans wary at best, Counihan's trying to take a long view.
Well, I think there's a lot of things to do over year two, but one of the things, Todd, I think to remember is, without stretching a baseball analogy too far, that we're in the top of the third inning in a nine-inning game. And we need to understand that that we've got a good 4 or 5 years ahead of us to implement this law, to make sure that the customer experience remains and gets easier and simpler all the time. And so, it's a long-term play.
Well, you mentioned the top of the third inning. Of course, you're already in as relief. You always want your starter to go longer than three innings. So the fact that you're in there now on this job, I want to ask about the 28% who signed up. 8 million people. It wasn't a bad number in the first year, but in a lot of ways, those might have been the people who were the most willing, the most amenable to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, for Obamacare. So it seems like the rest of the marketplace might be a little bit harder to get.
Well, you know, I think you have to look at the several different channels of enrollment. So you're absolutely right. You mentioned the 8 million that came in through the exchanges, which is about a million more than I think originally projected. There were about 5 million, as I understand it, that came through Medicaid expansion, and another roughly 5 million people that came through buying group insurance through their employers. So there's actually – not all of them were necessarily previously uninsured, but my understanding is of that 18 million, about 10 million were previously uninsured. So I think it was a very strong year. We need to recognize that all these numbers are going to continue to fluctuate. They're going to go up. They're going to go down a little bit. We're going to – some see people in the exchanges are going to migrate down to Medicaid eligibility and vice versa. But we're going to see that enrollment continue to grow every year.
What are some of the marketing issues of marketing healthcare.gov, the exchanges, or really Obamacare to people in the second year? On the one hand, you could point to success. On the other hand, you and I and everybody listening are both aware that the law is vilified in a lot of parts of the country and it's not widely supported still. So what are the challenges, the differences in marketing it in year two versus year one?
Well, I'm really I start my new job on Monday, so I'm actually probably, without meaning to be coy, I'm probably not fully able to answer that question yet, though I think I will be able to pretty soon. But let me tell you some of the things that worked for us in Connecticut, and that was to focus on a few things. One is on affordability. The second is on ease. And the third is on help or resources. And so I think the point about making health insurance more affordable and accessible is something that most Americans broadly support. So you're right. I think sometimes the law gets plebiscized. Most people, however, understand that one way or the other, all of us that are paying health insurance are also paying for those that are uninsured and getting insurance through uncompensated care. $1,200 a year of our premiums are going to cover the uninsured who are not necessarily getting preventive care and not necessarily getting the exams necessary to uncover potential catastrophic illnesses. So I think when those things are put into context, the support for it is far broader.
One of the things that might be complicated also in the second year, of course, is people signing up for insurance, again, kind of re-upping the insurance that they've had. One of the concerns, as I understand it, is there might be some pretty broad premium swings, the amount that we pay for our health insurance. And also in the design of the plan, I got to ask you about this. The way the subsidies are designed, there's a good chance that a lot of people who sign up for Obamacare in the second year could see their government help, their subsidies, go way down. That's the way the law is designed for some people. That might be a problem for you.
Well, I think there can be all kinds of issues that need to be uncovered, as I said, when I begin the job next week. The issues that you've raised are very legitimate issues that have, you know, some scholars and others have written about. I tend to take a long view on this, so I think that some of the little bumps and glitches that we're going to see are going to get smoothed out as people get more used to the process.
You know, you're talking about small glitches, speed bumps. One thing that might not be a small glitch that could be a huge brick wall is the Halbig case in front of the Supreme Court. Without getting too down into the details, if the Supreme Court rules that federal subsidies, government help for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act, can only be offered in the 14 states where state exchanges exist, that's sort of what the case turns on. If the Supreme Court rules against the Obama administration in this case, what does that mean for your ability to sell the Affordable Care Act to patients and to providers?
Well, it's a very good question. We're seeing a number of things that are very promising. So, for example, we're seeing more and more states expanding Medicaid. We saw just recently that a Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has just expanded its Medicaid offering. We're seeing more and more states becoming more engaged in trying to provide ways of offering more access to health insurance and health care. So in the instance of a court case going one way or the other, I think we'll see many states that may adopt different tactics in order to get to the same ends. So, for example, in the case that you described, it is probably very likely that we could see more states becoming state-based exchanges.
So that they can keep the federal money, in other words.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that I've learned in doing this now for a number of years is that there really is not a one-size-fits-all approach that works for all states in our country. And frankly, I think a key role of my job and also in implementing this law is to be sensitive to those differences and to be highly supportive of the states.
Kevin Counihan is the CEO of the healthcare exchanges under the Affordable Care Act at HHS. Mr. Counihan, you're on the mound and in the third inning. We're not gonna see your curveball, are we?
Thank God.
Kevin Counihan, thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.